the Sundays. Last week, I'll just do, I want to try to cover this in maybe like two to five minutes, that I wanted to remind you that as we do our devotions in the Psalms, and by the way, this is not just for devotions in the Psalms, but any time we spend time with the Lord and His Word, and I do want to remind you this morning, I hope that you are not feeling guilty, right? I know someone was sharing with me that as they're meeting with some of the youth the other day, sometimes the youth just feel like, you know, when you ask, like, hey, how are things going with your relationship with God, the first thing they go, oh, I just haven't been reading the Bible enough, I didn't do devotions, and he was reminding them, as I will remind to you this morning, it's not about a guilt, like devotional guilt, right? It's not about, oh, I missed a day and God's really unhappy with me. It's about what you do with the time that you have with Him. And as we were reminding brothers and sisters last week, as I go off on a tangent right now, we did this picture last week where we see our life as a pie, and we think about our work, our church, I don't know what this is, social life, I don't know, some other S, right? And we have a spiritual life, and we just kind of have a wedges for different things. And one of the things we wanted to remind brothers and sisters last week was that there should not be a dichotomy between what we consider our spiritual life and the rest of our life, right? We don't want that. We wanna stop thinking about a kind of a dichotomy of like, oh, there's a part of me that's the spiritual thing, and I need to prioritize God, and then God, and then church, and then family, and so on and so forth. And we think that then when we start to do that, we're like, we gotta do our devotions because that's putting God first. But then once you finish your devotions, you're like, now I do my regular stuff, and now I feel that I kind of checked in with God. It's less about that, isn't it? Right? God is, your spiritual life is your whole life. You guys, right? You guys with me? Your spiritual life is your whole life. And so when this brother met with some younger brothers, he said to me, I try to shift the question to not just how is your spiritual life, but like, how is your attitude with God in your life, right? Like, I was like, that's cool. I like that. Like, what's your, like, how are just things going with God in the whole of your life? So that we can think of God, you know, for youth, maybe like the way to say is like, how do you bring God into school with you? And it's kind of a funny way to say it, because you don't bring God, like, I'm going to bring my Snickers bar with me, right? But how do you consciously know that God is with you in your studies? God is with you in your workplace? How do you know that God is with you if you're a stay-at-home mother? How do you know that God is with you as you even enjoy? I was telling my son, because he enjoyed his football games yesterday so much, and as a Sixer, how old is CJ? 6 or 7 years old. He's six, right? So I said to him, seven. So that's right. So I said to the seven-year-old boy, I'm like, man, do you know that God is with you? He goes, what? I'm like, you know, when you're like scoring your touchdown, like, God is with you. He goes, like here? Like, well, I'm like, yeah. And I want him as a seven-year-old boy to understand, I can play sports with God, right? I can live that life so that God is with me. You guys with me? Yeah? So how do we begin to not have that? And so, but when we do have a sit-down time with God, and I know that many of you have testified that, hey, when I do spend time, like just allocate some time with God in the morning, it just sets the course of my day. And it kind of, you know, I'm soaked. I kind of soaked myself in His presence and His word and music and praise, and it just kind of sets my day off on a different trajectory. You guys with me on that, right? And so when you do spend time in God's word, my thrust last week was, what do you do with that? Your devotional time should direct you to know God and to know ourselves better. Therefore, when you are reading anything in God's Word, or even as you're hearing the Word preached and taught, like, do you ask these questions? What does this in God's Word tell me about God? What does this tell me about God? What do I need to know more about God today that will deepen my love for Him, that will further my faith in Him? You guys with me? Right? And then the second question, you should always not leave any time of studying God's Word, is what does this tell me about me? Right? What does your Word show me about me? Not every text is about you, though, right? Okay, let's just make that clear. You know, in the individualistic and narcissistic type culture that we have a tendency to always start there and go like, oh, this is talking about me. So when Jesus was calming the storm, when he was in the boat with his disciples, right? We might ask ourselves, what storms do I have in my life today that Jesus may need to calm? And I'm not sure that's what the text is saying, right? Because that is showing the power of God as the Messiah, as of Christ as the Messiah. I think it's okay if you borrow from that a little bit, but let's not get in the tendency of making all scripture about you. We start with, what does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about Jesus, right? What more do I need to know about who he is? And then we can take away things. As we did in the Psalms, I thought it was really good. So I think we did this last week when we looked at, Psalm 139. We looked at even the words where it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, which is prove me, examine me, assay me, test me, and know me at the deepest levels. That's the meanings of these words. Only you know me at the deepest level, so test me, test my ways, and see if there be any grievous or anxious, disquieted, unsettled thoughts in my ways, and lead me in your way, right? That's what we should come away with as we read God's Word. And I love the exercise that we did last week. I'm just going to go to it because guess what? I try to remember all the things that you guys did. Our exercise was, as we read through Psalm 97, even in the first section, and we practice asking questions. As I read this psalm, what are some questions that I can direct it to me? These are the questions that you guys came up with. If you were doing your devotional in Psalm 97 and you split it up, you know, I said, how would you divide it? And you ask yourself, as I reflect on this, these are really quite profound questions that I sat with this week as you guys came up with these, right? You guys said a question you would ask yourself is, do you rejoice in God? Or do I rejoice in God? How do I see the majesty of the Lord? Would you do that in a devotional time? Would you ask yourself, why do I not rejoice in God? Why do I not rejoice in God? Why do I rejoice in other things? Right? These are great questions. Why do I lack reverence? How do I see God's glory? Do I have any idols? What am I loving so much more than God today? Is there anything I boast about other than God? These were your questions, and I suspect that if you had one day in devotions for the week and you asked yourself one or two of these questions, that could be a very rich time, wouldn't it be? Of reflection. So we think about, what does this tell me about God, and what does this tell me about me? Man, I might be lacking joy in God. I might be lacking reverence in God. Or is there something I love more than God today? Right? I think if you actually did that in your own devotional time, and I hope some of you may have started practicing that, you would have a pretty amazing time of devotions with the Lord. Right? You guys with me? Amen? Okay? Do I see it? Do I hear an amen? You guys?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. A little quiet today. So these were the questions that I want to remind you with last week. I kind of rushed through this one, but this is what I try to remember when I read the scripture, even as I prepare sermons. I always do three things. One, I look up, right? I try to look up and say, what does this tell me about God? And then I look out. What is this teaching me about the world around me today? And the Psalms really tell us about the world, right? And then third is I look in, right? At the end of this all, what are you showing me, God, about me? What do I need to know about me where I'm kind of off track? Where am I? Where have I gone in a grievous way, offensive way, or an unsettling way to you? And I don't even know about it. And it's creating tension in my heart, right? So just want to remind you guys of that. You guys with me? Yeah? Good? All right. So what we're going to do today is we're gonna read Psalm 106 because we are done with this section, okay? We are done. If you're following along in devotionals, we're done with Psalms book 4. So 106 ends book 4. We just finished that earlier this week. I think so. So we're now jumping into 2 Chronicles, right? Derek, can I see your devotional? Right, so if you're following along with us in this, and if Mimi's still purchasing this, if you want to follow along, 2 Chronicles started this week when, Derek? Let's see. I think Thursday. Friday, okay? And so what I'm going to have us do right now is we're going to share these copies of Psalm 105 and 106. You're going to start with 106. And I don't have very many copies, so just grab some. If you also, I'm sorry, that's your hair. I don't mess it up. So you could also look on your phone, all right? Because you guys have highlight on your phone and stuff. So I'm going to suggest that what you do is you read it, okay? You go through Psalm 106. And I just want to kind of go through these two psalms together this morning. All right? So Psalm 106, and what I want you to do first, Psalm 106 I think is on page 2, or go on your phone, because if you go on your phone, you can highlight it different colors. What I want you to do first is underline or bracket every verse that tells of Israel's actions against God. Okay? It gets a little crazy. Okay? So I want you to underline, maybe in a specific way so you know, right? Or if you have different color highlighters, like I see Mimi here has two different colors, I would use a different colors, right? I'm sorry. So underline or bracket every verse that tells you Israel's actions against God, specifically against God, all right? I'll give you 2 minutes. You guys need three? Maybe three? You guys are fast readers, right? Underline it, bracket it, so you'll see a bunch of it going on. And you guys can work together, okay? This is teamwork now. But I know you guys like to work quietly, so that's okay. Okay, so if you did it, I want you to just talk about it in a group of about 3 or 4. All right? 3 or 4 max. And just like, what are your thoughts after reading this? Right? Like anything. Like, what are your thoughts? How do you feel? You could be more like analytical, like, oh, this shows this period of history of Israel or whatever. Just share about what you think about it. All right, so what do you guys think about Psalm 106? What do you guys think about that? Give me some words. Like, give me a word that you guys came up with out of this. Like, any word.
Shocking.
Shocking? Wow, okay. Shocking. Why shocking to you?
Sacrificed their children.
Okay, sacrificing of children. Who sacrificed their children? The people of God sacrificed their children. Okay, good. What about you guys, the next group? What do you guys think? Like, what's a word that comes out? You guys work together? No. Okay, you three in the middle there. No, you guys don't work together? No. No word? Okay, next group then. That's okay.
Exasperated.
I don't even know how to spell that. Is that okay? Exasperated? 2 P's? 1 P? Okay. Exasperated. Why?
Just like, they keep messing up. Like, if it was me, I'd be tired of it by then.
Okay, if you were messing up?
No, like, if I was on God's, like, end of it. Like,
if you were God?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be exasperated.
Yeah.
Like, how about we just end this?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, good. How about you guys in the back? Back four.
For God.
Huh?
For God.
For God?
Yeah.
How so? Why do you say for God?
For God, the God had come for them.
For God.
Oh, yes. Good word.
Sorry for my...
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Okay? They forgot.
That's a big word that you picked up on, right? They not just forgot once, they keep forgetting, right? Good. How about this group over here?
Guilty
as charged, right? Guilty. Why?
Not that value or myself, I've been sacrificing our children.
Right, okay. But, I'm not.
You kind of...
Yeah, where's your younger son recently? I haven't seen him. Okay.
Sorry, no comment.
Okay.
It's not that we kind of see parallels of the Israelites and what they're doing in their lives to, like, us in our lives.
Right. Without sacrificing your children, you see
everything else is the same.
Wow. Okay. Right. But the pattern of that. The pattern. Okay. Good. How about next group? Okay, so it represents us. I'll just put that word down, okay? Represents or reflects us. Okay, how about you guys over here?
You said comforted.
Comforted! What?
Don't worry.
I'll put this over here.
No, it's right.
Comforted. Comforted. Wow, deep. Either they are really off from you guys.
No, we're really off.
This is the youngest group, man. Like, are they off? Did they miss something?
No.
Well, no. And they're confident. The youngest group is confident. Why?
Because when we were talking about it, yeah, they did all these things, right? You're shocked, exasperated. Like, they forgot, they're guilty. But we are comforted in the fact that, like, through it all, like, verse 44, he, like, remembers the cry and he still loves them.
Oh. All right. Okay, we're done with class. I'm just kidding.
Interesting. Very. Okay. Okay. They feel confident right there. They're giving us, like, pounds here. They're happy.
Okay. Right? Well, I don't know. We'll see if you're wrong or not. Well, I want you to take another color, take a different bracket, and look through this. Look through this. And highlight or bracket any verse that is a call to praise God. Bang. Look for the calls to praise God. Go through it real fast, okay? I'll give you 1 minute. See how fast you can find them. All right, now talk about that in your group. What's your observation? What do you think about this? Okay, talk about it in your groups for you guys who have circled it, bracketed, like, circle or mark. You'll see if you have a highlighter, like, there's a trend, or there's a, where's the pattern, you know? It's not highly complicated. Okay, so what do you guys see? Who used a highlighter? Who used a highlighter? Okay, let me see yours. I see the highlighter there. Okay, here's the highlighted version. We're gonna pick on our new friends here, right? This is Tim and Josephine. Okay, so we're gonna check to see if they did anything right or wrong, okay? I'm just kidding. All right, so this is their work. What pattern do you see on the highlighting of, which one is the praise one?
Yellow.
What's the pattern that you see? Yin and yang? Someone just said yin and yang?
Beginning and end.
Oh, beginning and the end. That's what he said. I'm like, yin and yang? Dude, we are not in the right place here. The beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. What do you think about that? Why is that? Okay? Remember, if you guys think back to when I taught through the Psalms. So when you remember when I taught through the Psalms, how much of the Psalms is very prose? Okay, prose is on one end. And what's the other one? Poetry on the other. Poetry means there's a lot of literary devices, right? Prose is on the spectrum of not as much literary device as being used, right? Where does Psalms fit? More prose or poetry? Should be pretty easy. Poetry. Which means the author is using a lot of literary devices, like, in their writing, okay? And one of the things, if you remember, that's very big in poetry is this thing called bracketing, right? Or it's called bracketing or inclusio. Think of it as bookends on a bookshelf, right? And you'll have these ornate bookends that are holding all the content inside. You guys with me? Okay. If you have praise in the beginning and you have praise at the end, what do you think that is? There's a reason, there's a design for that, right? They've made it this way. They started this thing with praise, they ended with praise, and they have all this ugly, shocking, exasperating, forgetful, guilty, representing us picture in the middle. And so if this is the case, what should the idea bring out? What do you guys think about that? Like, what would the psalm, yes? Okay. The actions of men does not change who God is. I like that. You guys like that?
Yeah.
And would you be comforted by that?
Yes.
Okay. Actions of men don't change the what? The what? The actions of God?
Or who
God is. Okay. Change, yes. Does that change who God is? Okay. All right, we have it down. And would you then be comforted? Yes, Bobby.
I'm not very poetic, but just based on the
it's okay, you are. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Based on the information that's given, I think, you know, beginning and end, I think the psalmist is very intentional about us not forgetting, because
right.
That would be the first thing you read, and then you get all the ugly stuff in the middle.
Yeah.
But then he comes back
yeah.
to conclude it. So it's the first thing and last thing you remember.
Right.
So you don't forget.
Right. So you don't what?
Forget.
So you don't forget. Interesting. Okay. Do you see that there's something going on in this psalm more than just the nasty? Right? Because when I was doing my devotions in this psalm, this is the last psalm, I forgot where I was at. And I was just kind of going through it. And I was like, this is like, suck. You know, as you're reading this and you're like, these, I hate reading about them. And I felt the way that those two groups did as well. Like, because when I read about them, I feel like it's representing me. And do I always have to think about my how bad I am and how guilty I should be and how God might be exasperated with me? Because recently I was having a great conversation with a sister in Christ at this church, and we were talking about how people sometimes forget, or is it the church? Is it that our church doesn't highlight God's love? You know? And I was like, well, now I'm taking personal offense. Like she's like, do we not preach it enough? I'm like, well, I'm a preacher. I'm one of the preachers at the church. And so I was sharing with her a verse that, yes, because at first I was telling her, you know what? It's not my fault. There's a culture at this church. It's not my fault. I didn't set the culture of a 25-year-old church, right? Like, I've only been here for 3 years. So, like, you know, whatever bad culture I'm doing, it may or may not be that. But I think what we have is what we have, right? And I did say, you know what is interesting is, long story short, one day I came across a verse in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14. And I was blown away by this verse, because this verse says, the Lord delights in us. He delights in us. And it says that he dances over us, or he rejoices over us with singing. And I was so blown away. I was like, I've read Zephaniah before. Like, I've never seen this verse. I've never seen it on a plaque or anything like that. I just, wow. The Lord delights over those who are his. He delights. And he rejoices over us with singing. And one version says he's dancing over us. Have you ever pictured God delighting over you in that way? That God is so tender in his love for you that he delights in you. So that I was thinking about my own love. And at that time when I came across this verse, Bethany, my daughter, was only, I don't know, like 3 years old. And that time, she was already annoying me. She was already finding ways to get under my skin, even though Bethany's like a very sweet girl. But I know that despite all that she does to annoy me, or wake us up in the middle of the night, or whatever it was at that time, I delighted in her. I loved my daughter that much. And since she was a child, not all you fathers are as manly as I am, but I would sing over my children. You got to be a real man to sing over your child. And I sung over her because I would hold her. I would sing over her. I won't tell you which songs I sang over her, but there are special songs. And I just thought, does God love us that way? It is beautiful, right? Okay. So, and I said, I remember bringing that verse up to my mother, who loves God and everything, right? And I'm like, did you ever see this verse in the scripture before? She goes, oh yeah, I've known that verse since I was a teenager. I'm like, why don't you ever talk about it? Why don't you ever tell me that God delights in me, right? And then I talked to Elder Chu about it. I'm like, have you ever seen it? Like, I just found this, but he was like, oh yeah, I love that verse. I'm like, why don't you ever preach on this, right? Because I think I've talked about that before. Okay. Whatever it was, I was talking with this sister, and this one sister says, this other church had a whole retreat on this one verse. The whole retreat, like four messages, was talking about God's delight over us. And she's like, is it our culture that we just don't? I'm like, and I'm wondering. And I said, what do you think? What did you think? She goes, I think it's good that we talk about that. And I said, well, what do we always do when we talk about context of scripture and all that stuff? Right? She says, well, it's true that you bring that up. Because I started to read the rest of Zephaniah while I was listening to the sermons. Right? Which is, I mean, I'm sure a lot of you guys do that too. Like, is this preacher like preaching in context here? And as you do that, she was like, oh man, everything before that was about God's judgment. And I go, so what did you think? She said, I'm just wondering, do we always have to be reminded of like how bad we are and God's judgment that should be over us to really appreciate his love? And I said, I mean, I kind of know the answer, but I'm like, why don't you think about that? Right? I said, that's a great question. I think you should think about that more. Because I said, for me, do we always have to talk about sin and forgiveness? I guess we don't have to if we don't want to talk about the gospel here, right? But you know what? For me, I shared with her, like, sin and forgiveness and the love that's displayed in forgiveness, to me, is the gateway, right? It opens the door to understand how great God's love is. And I appreciated God's delight over me as his child so much more when I remember that I really should, as one brother said right there, Daniel said, if I was God, I mean, I would just damn them all. Right? Because as you remember how they are, God should be exasperated and be like, I'm just going to push the delete button here. Boop. You know, like, you guys are gone. And I was sharing with this sister that, to me, that's kind of like the gateway of, like, understand, like, beginning to know, like, that's a crazy love. Like, why Why would God love people that are so exasperating? Why would God love people that are so futile? Why would God love people that are so immature, even after I've displayed myself over and over? Like, why would I keep doing that? When you talk about that love is a crazy love. That is a unworldly love. Because people in the world, like Daniel would say, if it was me and if it was any of us, done. I could start from scratch. Like, I don't need this headache. Kind of with me? And that, to me, then, helps me appreciate when the scriptures even say more so that God delights over me. Like, God's love isn't just, well, I guess I'll just die for them and forgive them and all that and just give them a new life and come to heaven. No, more than that, I enjoy them so much. I delight over them. I sing over them. And I think when you have judgment right before that and that God should have deleted us, then you go, but he doesn't just like us, like he really loves us. And I think that kind of puts God's love in 3D. What do you guys think? I'm not sure. But I think what Bob said right there is so right. Because when we actually look at this psalm in depth, and by the way, we are ending, how many books are there in Psalms? Oops, did I just put my hand up? I don't know. Huh? Okay. Or how many chapters? Okay. But how many books are there? Five books, right? And we, in our devotions, just went through Psalms what? Psalm something to 106. I mean, not here, but we've been reading it after 1 Chronicles. It was, go ahead, use your Bibles and stuff, and you'll see where it starts, what book, like what book is this? Is there a book after this? Because if you look at your Bible, because the Bible actually will tell you if there's a book or not after this.
Yes, there is.
Okay, and it starts book what? Book what? Five. Somebody said five, right? That would make this, where it ends at 106, book what? Book four. And book four started with Psalm 90, right? We've been doing our devotions in Psalms 90 through 106, if you didn't know. We've been doing our devotions in book six of the Psalms. And book six ends, or book four, what am I saying? 106 ends book four, and book four ends with praise and repentance. So we didn't even get to 105 today, but if you went through 105 and you started highlighting everything that tells of God's goodness to his people, you will see, you will highlight the whole of 105. But then you will still have the same things with praise of God in the beginning and the end. So there is something about praise and repentance that is still encapsulated in praise of who God is in the beginning and in the end. Praise of who God is. And so, yes, sometimes when we are reading, you guys get all these feelings. This is the feeling that you get. What? I'm sorry, did someone say something? Oh, okay. All right. With that Siri? Okay. So, someone, like, so when we read, this is totally fine. That you should get that feeling. You should be reminded of these things. You should be reminded of who you are and the pattern of your own life. Because when we're doing the study of the Psalms, remember, we did all this stuff and we're like, hey man, what does this teach me about God? What does this teach me about me? What does this teach me about the world? And you see, this is the pattern. This is the pattern of mankind. And you should feel a little guilty because you always forget God. But the Psalms, these two Psalms in particular, are meant to be read in the whole assembly. Why do you think that would be the case? Because of what Bob had said. When you start with praise of who God is, and you end with praise with who God is, that is what you remember in it all. Right? What'd you say, worship? Yes, amen to that too. Bless you in worship, because through this, this is what we do in worship. We remember who God is. We spend time. We do need to examine ourselves. We do need to check ourselves. We need to see, where have we become like them? How did we become like this again? Why have I started to forget God? Because in Psalm 106, you see what Freeman said, a lot of forgot. In 105, you'll see another word. You'll see this word called remember. And so the pattern of what God uses His Word to do in our life is to not forget and to always remember. And I don't care if you come on a Sunday in Sunday school or in Sunday worship and you say, oh, I've heard this before. But it better not be, oh, I heard this before. Whatever. Another brother said to me recently, he said to me, man, when I heard Pastor James share what he did last Sunday, it's not like I didn't hear that before, but I needed to hear that day. I needed that. God spoke to me in that. And I said, amen. I was like, high five. I was like, bang, yes. That's the attitude. That's when you know God's at work in you. When you hear something that you've heard before and God just goes, bang, I'm going to put this in 3D for you today. And you're like, oh man, I needed that. My wife was sitting next to me. I preached almost an exact sermon like his. I'm like, did you just straight up plagiarize me, bro? Right? I'm just kidding. He didn't, right? But I know Bex has... I gave a four-day conference on that topic. And Bex was with me. She's heard it, but you know what Bex said to me in our Sabbath on Monday? She said to me over coffee, she was like, man, I needed to hear that from Pastor James too. Right? So a brother shared that and a sister shared that. And so my wife said to me, and she shared in our counselors group on Sunday night too, right? She was like, man, I've just been like, wondering the value of me being a stay-at-home mother. She was, I've been thinking about going to work. Remember she shared that with us last week, right? You know, the counselors? Oh, there's only you in here, right? Right? Yes, just you, right? And we're sharing about that, and she was like, I've been thinking about going back to work. And I was like, what? Like, you haven't even talked to me about it. I'm like, what? Where's this coming from? And she says, but you know what? Pastor James' sermon today reminded me the value of what I'm doing. Because sometimes I don't feel there's value in what I do. I'm like, amen. It's not like you haven't heard that before. She's heard it before a million times from me. And other places and other preachers and other good books. But when she heard on Sunday. So when you say, oh, I've heard this before. You better check yourself right there. Are you saying, God, I've heard this before. Would you speak to me and let it convict me again? Right? So when we're reading the Psalms, yes, we do not forget who we are, but we also remember who God is. You guys with me? Right? And that's what the Psalms do. And I love what Cindy had shared with us, and I'll circle this as well, right? That the actions of men don't change who God is. And that's what makes us, as our little high school group here said, comforted. So when we read our Psalms, don't ever end at being exasperated. Don't ever end in Zephaniah chapter 2. Keep going, because you'll hear about, yes, God strikes down the ungodly, but God delights over those who are His. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for today, and Lord, we just are lifted up when we think about who You are. Because when we let the Word examine us, it it can bring us a little bit down and even exasperated on ourselves, because we're so prone to fail you, we're so prone to stray, we're so prone to get caught up in the things of this world. Our faith does at times grow weak. And our focus a lot of times does shift from the things of the kingdom to things of this world. And that happens even to the most holy of saints, Lord. And when we are able to remember that, it may bring us down, because we realize how often we forget you. But Lord, even through the Psalms today, that you showed us the bookends. The bookends of history, the bookends of your kingdom, the bookends of our own life is who you are. And your great faithfulness, and your great love, and your great compassion, and your majesty. And so, Father, let that be what we remember today, is your faithfulness to an unfaithful people. And we just want to be filled with thanksgiving and praise this morning. Thank you for stirring in our hearts. We put the rest of today into your hands. Help us to respond the way you want us to. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.